I'd like to share a few things that I feel like I feel very challenged in my heart and life. I also had a courtroom experience this last week. I got a ticket for an expired tag on my little Toyota. I didn't realize it expired. Expired about 3 months. And so I got a ticket and didn't get it paid on time. And I never intend going into the courtroom. I just normally pay my ticket. But Enid is, they're pretty tough. I don't really feel like it's quite just, but it's $500 on top of the price of your ticket if it's not paid in time or you don't show up. $500. Anyway, so I showed up and I wasn't the first one. So anyway, I just watched the proceedings and I feel sorry for them. They deal with excuses, reasons, justifications all day long.
Yes, they do.
And anyway, finally my turn came up. And I stepped up there and told them what the deal was. And it was a woman judge. She asked me, she said, well, do you have your tag now? And I said, yes, I do. And she said, well, prove to me. And I said, well, I didn't drive my truck here. I didn't go there to prove anything. I just went in there to get my bill taken care of and get gone. And she says, well, how do I know you got it? And I looked at her and I said, my word. They're not used to that. They're not used to that. It's a whole new deal. Anyway, the policeman there, the guard that's in the courtroom, he had a two-way radio, and he was able to radio in and talk to somebody. And it took him a little while, but they concluded, yeah, he's got his tag. So anyway, after they found that out, she gave me my fine, and I went out the door, and I felt I got that thing taken care of. I got it behind me.
Yeah.
It's all, they suspended my license. So I had to pay a little bit to get my license cleared. And you know, I think about, and a lot of people were in there, they wanted to, and they had been in there before. I could tell most of them had been there and she had dealt with them before, but she was trying to hold them accountable for their actions. She was trying to make them follow through with their words, and they have a hard job. They've heard, I imagine, every story under the sun. And I thought about the Lord. I thought, you know, the Lord probably hears a lot of stories too. A lot of excuses, a lot of reasons, a lot of conditions of why we can't do what we're supposed to do. And, you know, the Lord doesn't want to hear all that. The judges, they don't want to hear all those things. They just want to see some evidence. And I think, have you heard the idiom about kicking the can down the road? Have you heard of that before? I want to read you the definition. It says, putting off, confronting a difficult issue, or making an important decision, typically on a continuing basis. Delaying a decision in hopes that the problem or issue will go away or somebody else will make the decision later. I want to ask us, who likes problems? See any hands? There's not a one of us that likes problems. I didn't feel like I'd get any takers on this one. Problems are difficult. Problems are perplexing. Problems can be very challenging and troubling. And so there's a tendency to just kick the can down the road. Next week, next month, next year, and we keep kicking the can down the road. You know, some of the problems that we deal with today, we're dealing with things that have got kicked down the road from years past. And if we're not careful, we can keep kicking our can down the road.
That's right.
And our children are going to have to deal with some things. So it's very important for us to come to the place where we're willing to face and confront the issues of our life. Confront the difficulties that are there. And recognize that they're here, they're ours. If we ignore them, they don't usually go away by themselves. If we run from them, we never get any stronger in knowing how to overcome in the battles of life. It's only when we take them to God and look to Him for help and strength and we face them, Lord, how do I get through this difficulty? I was reading the other day about Jeremiah. They came to Jeremiah. Babylon had come in and destroyed the land. The people were living in fear. They didn't know what to do. They felt like going down to Egypt was a safe place, and that's what they were wanting to do. That's what they were tempted to do. But they came to Jeremiah and said, what do we do? Here, and you can see their point. Here they were destroyed. Their cities were plundered. Their riches were taken away. And there was just a remnant, and they were living in fear. And so they inquired of Jeremiah, what do we do? And I noticed, I was reading it, said, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah in 10 days.
Yeah.
Jeremiah kept waiting and kept looking to God till the answer came. I don't know why it didn't come on day one, but it didn't. It said, 10 days, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. Lord, help us today to be able to look to God, to wait upon Him, until we get guidance and inspiration to know what to do. The Lord knows our problems. He knows the perplexity of our situations. He knows what is needed. And it's important and vital for us to wait on Him and look to Him for an answer. God can give us answers. He has the answers. I want to look now in 1 Kings, the second chapter. And I believe it starts out in the first verse. I want to read in the first verse, it says, now the days of David drew nigh that he should die, and he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth, be thou strong therefore, and show thyself a man. And keep the charge of the Lord thy God, to walk in the way in his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandments, and his judgments and his testimonies, as is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest and whithersoever thou turnest thyself. That the Lord may continue his word which he spake concerning me, saying, if thy children take heed to their way to walk before me in truth with all their heart and with all their soul, there shall not fall thee, said he, a man on the throne of Israel. Moreover, thou knowest also what Joab, the son of Zeruiah did to me, and what he did to the two captains of the host of Israel, unto Abner the son of Ner, and unto Amasa the son of Jether, whom he slew, and shed the blood of war in peace, and put the blood of war upon his girdle that was about his loins, and in his shoes that were on his feet. Now here David is getting ready to leave, and he's setting his house in order. He's taking care of some unfinished business. This should have been done a long time ago with Joab. Joab was guilty. He did things. He took things in his own hands. He did things were wrong. And now David's getting ready to die, and his son's coming up to the throne, and he's giving them a list. He's telling them what to do. It should have probably been done a long time ago. But he was setting his house in order.
Yeah.
I know different times the Lord has mentioned, he told Hezekiah, he said, set your house in order, for you're going to die and not live. Well, why do we have to set it in order if I'm going to be gone? I don't have to deal with it.
That's right.
But I've got to deal with God. And when the Lord meets us, He wants our house to be in order.
That's right.
He wants things to be taken care of. And it's a blessing that we don't leave things to the next generation. I know my grandmother, when in her upper years, she started getting rid of stuff. She had a den. It was just full of junk. I mean, trunks and chairs and tables, different things she collected from rent houses, and you couldn't even hardly walk through the place. But little by little, she started taking stuff off to the auction. She had some rental properties that were run down in bad condition. She started getting rid of all those things. And by the time she passed, her den was cleaned up. And when she died, we didn't have a whole lot. She had her house and a few things, but it was so, she made it, the transition, so easy for us. I appreciate her doing that for us. You know, some people don't do that. And you got to go through a lot of junk, a lot of stuff that people have. You know, the Lord wants things in order. He wants our lives in order. He wants the church in order. He wants things to be orderly. I noticed here in this scripture, he said there were different things that happened. You remember, I believe his name is Shimei, when David was being chased by his son Absalom, and he had to leave Jerusalem. Shimei came up to David and cursed his face bitterly, grievously. And his men were going to slay him right there on the spot for his doing. And he said, no, don't touch him. He said, maybe the Lord will requite me good for this evil. And then when David came back, Shimei met David. He went and confronted David, which was very good of him to do. And David promised him, I'm not going to take your life. He promised him that. But now, David mentions him. He says here, verse 8, it says, and behold, thou hast with thee Shimei, the son of Gera, a Benjamite, which cursed me with a grievous curse in the day when I went to Nahum, but he came down to meet me at Jordan, and I swear to him by the Lord, saying, I will not put thee to death with the sword. Now therefore hold him not guiltless, for thou art a wise man, and knowest what thou oughtest to do unto him, but his hoar head bring thou down to the grave with blood. David's saying, take care of it. Now, Solomon honored David's agreement, and Solomon told him this. Solomon questioned. He viewed him as a threat, as a problem. Shimei was a problem. He had to be watched. Solomon didn't want him just going off to some city and starting up a following, an insurrection. Solomon said, you build a house here at Jerusalem. Right here. Where I can keep an eye on you. The moment, the day you pass the Brook Kidron, it is going to be your life. And he agreed. He said, what you have said, it's well said. I'll honor that. He built his house there. He lived there for 3 years. And at 3 years, two of his servants left him, escaped. And Shimei saddled up his ass and went after them and followed them. And it was told Solomon. Now, we look at this and we say, you know, he just went to get his servants. He had a reason. But the scripture that came to me on this was that there's a scripture that talks about not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Self-willed, presumptuous are they. Shimei could have handled this matter totally different if he would have had the fear of God upon his heart. He could have went to Solomon and said, I have a problem. Can you help me with this problem? Two of my servants have left me. They crossed the brook. They're gone. Can you help me with my problem? Shimei didn't do that. He was self-willed. There was something about him that he didn't want to submit to authority. He didn't want to yield. And he crossed the brook, and it cost him his life. Problems, when we recognize there's problems, they've got to be throttled. We can't ignore problems. If we ignore the issues, and I want to get this thought here. And like I said, we don't like problems. I don't like problems. But if we just always turn our head and we don't ask the Lord to help us and we don't confront some of these things that are problems, they don't better themselves on their own. Most of the time in the Old Testament, there was times that God told them, said, you'll not need to fight in this battle. There are times that the Lord will just take care of something. But it doesn't usually happen that way most of the time. In the land of Canaan, most of the time, they had to exercise faith and confidence in God and do what the Lord told them to do. And God went with them and honored them. And that's what I want to encourage us today, to face our problems and our difficulties, that the Lord will be there to help us with them. The Lord will be there to give us instruction and guidance if we're willing to face our problems and our difficulties. But if we ignore them and we just act like they're not there and we just turn our head or we run from them, I'm never going to grow into the person that God wants me to be. I'm never going to grow in knowledge and understanding and have the victory the Lord wants me to have. The older that I've got, the more I realized most people in life are running from their problems. They spend their entire life making excuse after excuse. It's always somebody else's fault. It's never me. I failed. Lord, would you help me? It's always out there somewhere. It's the family. It's the circumstances. It's the church. It's the minister. It's so easy to put a blame somewhere else. And most people spend their entire lives putting the blame out there somewhere. Never acknowledging that I had a part. Lord, part of this problem is me. Part of these situations is me. Help me not to be a problem. I don't want to be a problem. I don't want to be a problem to the people of God. I don't want to be a problem to my family. I want to be able to address the issues, the places of that I need to grow in my spiritual life and inhabit. You know, I feel like sometimes we get a misconception of sanctification in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was an enabler to give them the land. Just because we get the Holy Spirit doesn't mean that we have it all. But it equips us and it enables us to face the giants. To face the problems. To face the difficulties. Sometimes have you ever prayed and seemed like nothing ever moved and nothing ever changed and nothing ever happened? Sometimes it's the Lord wanting us to take responsibility, to do our part. We kind of pray and we got this, we just feel in the back of our minds, the Lord's just going to take it away. They had to fight in the land of Canaan. There were giants in the land of Canaan that they had to face. There's going to be mountains. There's going to be difficult places that we're going to have to face too. But that's what the Holy Spirit is for. To give us guidance. To give us courage. To enable us to be able to humble ourselves when we need to humble ourselves. You know, it takes a lot of grace to stand up and say, I was wrong. Would you forgive me? I said the wrong thing. I really didn't understand the situation. I'm sorry. Would you please forgive me? That takes power from God to do that. You know, most people don't do that. But you know, that's important. Amen. That we acknowledge our. I think about that can, that we acknowledge our can. That we like to just kind of kick it out of the way and kick it down the road, you might say. Lord, help us today to be... But I want to get this thought here in verse 46. It said, so the king commanded Benaiah. You'll read his name several times. This guy had a lot of dirty work to do. The king sent him on a lot of difficult tasks and missions. But he said, the son of Jehoiada, which went out and fell upon him, that he died, and the kingdom was established in the hand of Solomon. It was established because they were taking care of business. They were setting their house in order. You know, we get things, too many things in disarray and out of order. It's going to be difficult for God to work among us. It's difficult for God to work in our families. I'm a guy on the job when I work, I don't like total disarray and disorder. I don't like it where you can't move without stepping on a tool or tripping over the ladder. I like things to be kept organized. Lord, help us today to keep our house in order. Help us to have the spiritual house, the house of the Lord. Help it to be in order. A place where people can be established. And I know this, I've seen this in people's lives. When you see somebody get saved and they really begin to take care of business, they begin to follow the Word and they begin to become obedient and do the things that God has told them to do, they get established. They get stronger in the things of God. But you take somebody that gets saved and there's things there like the bleeding of the sheep, and there's things there that shouldn't be there, and they just kind of leave them there. You see them go for a little while, and then pretty soon they fizzle out. They give up. They get discouraged. I want to encourage us today. I think about Jacob, how the Lord brought Jacob full circle to see himself. You know, when he was getting ready to meet his brother, you know what he was really meeting? He was meeting his past, wasn't he?
Yeah.
His past deeds. What he had done. And I know he was influenced by his mother, but he had to reckon with that. He reckoned with that. He faced it. And God changed his name from Jacob to Israel. You know, the Lord wants to... We all have an earthly name here that we identify each other by. But God gives us a spiritual name when we're born into the family of God. He called the sons of Zebedee, James and John, he called them the sons of thunder. He gave them new names. The spiritual name was a new identity. It was a new person. And it gave them the parameters of their land. It gave them inheritance, if you know what I'm saying. It enclosed their gifts. It enclosed their personality. It enclosed their talents. It was all part of their spiritual name. And when you and I today, we face those giants, you know, the Lord can give us a new name also. He can change our earthly name that means defeat, that means failure, that means not able to overcome, failure, disappointment, brokenness. He can change our name. That it means something, that it's whole, that it's complete, that it's divine, that it has power, that the blessing of God is there. The Lord can change our name. I believe Revelation, it tells about that. It says, I'll give him a white stone and a new name in it. The Lord wants us to be able to have a new name. He wants us to overcome. He wants us to be victorious. And I want to encourage us today to be able to face our problems and our difficulties that come. I looked up the word problem the word problem comes from the prefix it says pro, which means forward. And the back part of the word, I couldn't even pronounce it. It may be a Latin word, but it means throw. To throw forward. And I don't know how that all relates, but it reminded me of kicking the can forward. That's usually what people do with their problems. They just kick it forward. You know, we're going to meet up with it, aren't we? And it's the mercy of God. Just like Jacob, the Lord wasn't going to let him off the hook. He was going to meet up with what he did. But he had his name changed. And he was able to meet it with power, with victory. And I want to encourage us today that in our problems, that we wouldn't just run from them and hide from them and say they're not there, but that we would face them and bring them before the Lord and say, Lord, here's this problem I've got. You know, I think about sometimes people struggle in certain areas of their life and they fail in that besetting sin, you might say, over and over and over and over. That's a problem. That's something that God wants to deal with in our lives. That's something that He wants us to be able to face and to overcome. If we're not careful, the enemy will come in and say, well, this is just the way it is. There's no victory for you. You've tried. Sometimes it feels like maybe you're going to die on this mountain. No, you're not going to die on the mountain. Amen. The Lord has power for us. The Lord has a place of victory for us if we'll seek Him. But I want to encourage us with this thought today too. We sometimes struggle. I've had struggles. We struggle in our spiritual life, and sometimes we work so hard to be right, don't we? We work hard to do right. I believe God's people have that desire. But I want us to tell us this and encourage with this, that it's not us. It's not our works. It's not our victory. It's not my travail. If you'll liken that, you know, Jacob wrestled with the angel. I know we get that agonizing thing in mind of agonizing before God. But I want us today to equate that with prayer, faith, believing. Believing that God will help me in my difficulty, with my problem. If I meet my problems with unbelief, with doubts, with fears, we're not going to get anywhere. We're going to fight and fight and not gain any victories. We're going to struggle, we're going to try, we're going to try, we're going to try. And we're not going to do it. We got to believe that Jesus will help us.
Amen.
They that believe will enter into rest. Although the works were done from the foundation, we're entering in to Christ's victory. It's His power. It's His victory. It's not our own. Amen. Folks, we can take any problem to God. Doesn't matter how big it is or how small it is, if it's a problem, if it's besetting us, if it's hurting us in our lives, there is victory for it. There's a place. But we've got to have two things. We've got to give the Lord permission. We've got to say yes to God, and we've got to believe that He'll help us. When the children of Israel, the giants were bigger than them.
Yeah.
It wasn't their imagination. They saw the giants, they saw the walled cities, they were bigger than them. They failed to enter in, to rest. And they wandered in the wilderness 40 years. Sometimes if we're not careful, we can wander in our spiritual lives. Year after year, we just kick the can down the road a little bit further, and we never get victory. We never change. There's power for us today. We've got to believe in the power, not our. Don't look at your ability. Don't look, oh, I was so blessed in thinking this morning. There's a scripture in Hebrews, the 11th chapter. It says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Now the Lord in creation, He didn't take a bunch of stone material and a bunch of mass wood material and create the world with it, organize it and make it orderly. That's not what he did. There was nothing there. And he spoke it into existence. It was a miracle. At night, when you look up at the stars of heaven and you see the great expanse that God has done, the great miracle that he's performed, don't you know that he can perform a miracle in my life, in your life? Sometimes we look inwardly and we say, I don't have it. And we get discouraged. And we do get discouraged when we look at our own ability and our own strength. The Lord doesn't want us to look at that. He wants us to look at Him. He started with nothing. And He was able to make something beautiful. Amen. Don't you know He can take our failures, our brokenness, our hurts, our disappointments, the things that have hindered us in life, and He can make something beautiful out of it? He can perform a miracle. He can perform a miracle. Look, when you remember see the stars and the sun and the beauty of the earth, it's all a miracle. It's a testimony of God's greatness. And He can do it in your life. A miracle. Looks like you don't have much to work with. Looks like the pieces aren't there. He can perform a miracle in your life and in my life this morning. But we have to believe. We have to believe and trust in Him that He can do that. And when we do, the Scripture said also, I was thinking about how in the old law, you know, they had the ceremonial law and they had all the things that they had to go through. But He said in the new, I'll make a new covenant. I'll take the stony heart out of your flesh and give you a new heart and put my Spirit within you and cause you. You know, the wonders of the Lord, being able to have a new heart. Isn't that that's a wonderful thing. To have an old sick heart transformed into a brand new heart that's new desires, new vision, new outlook, new hope, new lease. God wants us to have that today. And then He said, it's my Spirit. There's a scripture there in Philippians that said, it's God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. When the Holy Spirit is working in our lives, it comes from within. It's not just me pushing. It's the Lord working. That's why we got to say, yes, Lord. And then believe in Him. Yes, Lord, You have my permission to use me in any way that You want to use me. And then believe that He'll be there and help us and see us through. I've seen it work today. I've seen God do miracles. And He's still performing miracles today in people's lives. Let's be encouraged today. I don't know what your mountain is, what you're struggling with. Maybe you fought it over and over. Believe in the Lord today. Believe that He loves you. That He cares about your life. That He'll help you and give you the victory that you need. If you allow fear and doubt and unbelief to plague your heart and mind, it's sometimes we can walk around in this dark cloud of accusations and this crushing force coming down upon us and upon our spirit. And it's like God doesn't love me and God's not real and the promises are not real. That's of the devil today. The Lord has given His children freedom and liberty in the Spirit. And He wants us to resist all the powers of the enemy. He has power for us this morning to overcome. Let's be encouraged today. Doesn't matter how bad the problem is. Doesn't matter how many times we failed. God is able to perform. If we're willing to set our house in order, we're willing to do business with God, He is able, and He's an enabler. He'll help us to overcome and be what He's calling us to be. I thank the Lord for that today. There's a song that says, I have ceased from all my struggling. 'Tis no longer I, but He. It's Christ in us. Are you struggling in your spiritual life? There's an answer for it. Believe. Have faith that God will answer and help you in the battles. And He will. When you exercise faith and confidence in God, He'll be there. Just like He was for them in the land of Canaan. Cities greater than what they were fell. Bigger and mightier and stronger fell. Because God was with them. He'll be with us too. Amen.